He knows his stuff. He's not afraid to go at people.
And no player should have that much control over an organization. Well, last time I checked, this is not the Los Angeles LeBron.
How did you get blocked by LeBron James on Twitter?
Talking about, you know, wanting to inspire and like, I'm inspired right now. I want to run through a brick wall for you right now.
Cutthroat. It's very, you know, up and down roller coaster of emotion.
God, put me in a position.
A good time when I get to get on that Dude 2020 show.
What is up, folks? Finally, after a month of feeling like diarrhea, we are back here with another episode here, That One Dude 2020 on the God Over Money Sports Network. But Dean, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm glad that you're feeling better. That's good.
Believe me, I don't know about you, Dean, but just sitting there not being able to do anything drives me crazy. Not being able to record content or do anything definitely is a pain in the butt here. Of course, Dean, this is the network here, so what we kind of do is like a little prayer break and all that. So let's just get that going. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, for Dean taking time out of his day. And it's about relationships. It's about friendship. It's not about anything else. So Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Let's get this started here, folks. We have a Bible verse here, like Psalms 31:24. I don't know any people's background, but that's what we're going to do. And folks, I apologize for the streaming issues. It's not streaming to my Facebook page or the network page, so hopefully that can get settled away here. But I think this is the thing that I really need to do is be strong. Let your heart take courage, all who wait on the Lord. I'm very impatient here. I've worked in this for about 2 years now, and it's not a problem, but I almost quit, and I need to work on my patience. I know that without a doubt, because I mean, it's when you're in this industry, when you're patient, I promise you, having the right intentions, it will work out. But this story here, I think, is really interesting, though. Like, a lot of times, I think we look at situations here, folks that's watching or Dean, that situation that looks impossible. And I think that's really the beauty thing that I just learned about faith and how I almost quit the industry, is that it doesn't matter what it looks like. But this, you folks, this David and Goliath story shows that this guy was the toughest guy on the block, just like we've seen like in movies or in school. You have that one guy that nobody likes. He's a bully. People are afraid to stand up to him. Like, that's really the beauty part about what David did. He stand up to somebody that other people are afraid of. And I say that to go back to this industry here, folks, everybody that's watching, hopefully we can get this streaming set up, is that it doesn't matter what the obstacle is. If people tell you no, keep going. I promise you it is worth it. But folks, let's get to the NFL topics here. Dude, we've seen in TV shows where relationships run its course. It is time to move on. We had some good moments here. And I feel like that's what it is with the Eagles and Zach Ertz. In your opinion, though, with the organization, do you think the Philadelphia Eagles plan to trade Zach Ertz, or do you think it's just more like off-season drama?
Yeah, it does kind of, you know, on the outside looking in, it does kind of seem like that relationship has run its course. Obviously, Zach Ertz has been an unbelievable player for the Eagles, won Super Bowl, has been really successful. But again, like you said, sometimes the relationship runs its course, and we'll see. I mean, there's been a lot of off-season drama this year with a lot of different players. And again, there's a lot of different factors that go into it, salary cap, you know, having a potential trade suitor. We'll see what happens.
And this is the worst thing, I think, with the Eagles, is that he wasn't supposed to be one of their number one weapons. If you go back to the 2017 offseason, they traded for Rashawn Jeffrey from Chicago, supposed to be that number one guy, and look what happened here. I mean, my gosh, if you look at it, Alshon Jeffrey is supposed to be the number one receiving weapon. Only 2,200 yards, 5 TDs average in 4 seasons. They, for the last 2 years, Dean, they've been trying, from what I heard in stories, trying to shop Alshon Jeffrey. So Zach Ertz coming the number one weapon, it sucks. I think the Eagles are in a really tough situation here because you're trying to rebuild but not rebuild. You're trying to tell Jalen Hurts and the media that, hey, they are convinced that Jalen Hurts is your guy, that you're shopping your number one receiving weapon. But at the same time, he's 31, 32 years old, not all tight ends, receiving weapons. As they get older, you know, there's only a short lifespan. So it's really unfortunate here, but I don't blame him. I mean, this guy has been way beyond what he was supposed to do. He wasn't supposed to be the number one guy. You know, the notion of tight ends, but it's definitely unfortunate here. But, Dean, this is my more unpopular take here. You can walk off the set at any time. It's no problem. I'm a huge fan of Larry Fitzgerald. And I talk about how, as much as Jerry Rice has had a phenomenal career, all I'm saying is there a chance, maybe anybody can like cancel me or anything. But like I told people before when he was on the show, it doesn't matter. I am not responsible for your physical or mental health. So if you have a hospital visit, you can go pay that. Have your mother pay that. I don't care. But my thing is that I see maybe, Jerry Rice could be, again, he's obviously deserves a phenomenal career, but maybe a little bit overrated in terms of he's had the luxury of playing with all these different quarterbacks. You've been in the league for a long time. If you look at these guys, John Skelton, do we have any idea who that is? No. It's Pierre, all these guys. And so for me, just an opinion is that if we switch the careers of Jerry Rice and Fitzgerald, in my opinion, I'm not sure if Jerry Rice has the same on the field impact numbers wise, because you look at 17 different quarterbacks. Like in any job, if you have that many managers, are you going to have a recipe for success? But you feel free to walk off the seat.
Well, no, I think to me what you're saying, it's less about the greatness of Jerry Rice and more about what Larry Fitzgerald has done, right? And the career that he's had. When you think about the quarterbacks that he's played with, really the only one, and it was a short time, the one that jumps out to me as being that kind of all-pro, Hall of Fame caliber was Kurt Warner. Didn't play very long with Arizona, obviously took them to a Super Bowl, whereas Jerry Rice obviously played with Joe Montana and Steve Young. But to say that someone that is normally in the conversation for greatest player of all time is overrated, That's a hot take. I can't say I agree with it. I remember watching Jerry Rice as a kid, and, you know, just crushing my Giants and whether it was Montana to Rice or Young to Rice. But you're entitled to your opinion. I won't walk off the set.
That's okay. It's just one of those things. Like, if you look for me, half of this list, these guys didn't even make a Pro Bowl. And like for me, it's like Jerry Rice. Even like, there's no doubt he's one of the best of all time. I'm not saying the opposite of that. I'm not here to be all crazy. It's just that most of his quarterbacks he's played with were all Pro Bowl. Two of them won multiple Super Bowls. So that doesn't mean he isn't great. I'm just saying that he's had the luxury of
playing with all these elite type of quarterbacks when you look at
the flip side of that is, did Jerry Rice make them that much better, right? Having a receiver like Jerry Rice makes them that much better, right?
Well, fair enough. I actually didn't. That is my hottest take, so we'll leave it at that, folks. But I'm not going to make sure that nobody gets it. Physical trouble or they're traumatized by that. But that is the hottest take there. But kind of I want to talk about his career because I'm not really sure. I know he's a free agent. I'm not sure if he's going to sign with the team or not because he's not with the Cardinals. But I don't think people put enough, at least maybe because I'm not in the league, I don't see it or do the stories. Like I feel like people don't put the amount of love or respect on Fitzgerald. I get he doesn't have a ring. But he's averaged over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns a year. Remember, Anquan Boldin was another receiving weapon on that roster. So that's why I had that conversation, or maybe the take that a lot of people disagree, and that's okay, is that you have drafted Anquan Boldin a year later, who put up a ton of great numbers. And you have Fitzgerald that you got, I believe, drafted at Pittsburgh, I can't remember, who's also on the roster. And then you had Josh McCown. Josh McCown, we very know, is a guy that's been around in the league for a long time. So that's why I think this kind of the having the respect, or maybe, I don't know, maybe, do you think that he is should be in the higher conversations of Jerry Rice, or is it more of, hey, maybe he needs to get that ring to be in the conversation?
You know, I don't think, at least in the circles that the people that I talk to, you know, they understand the greatness of Larry Fitzgerald, just the consistency. And when you think about, maybe, you know, the Cardinals, that hasn't been the glamorous. It's not like he plays for the Cowboys or the 49ers or one of these really the Raiders that have that national following. And maybe it had something to do with being in Arizona, you know, all those years. And for a lot of those years, they weren't competitive. But, you know, for a guy, you can't argue that he has put up, you know, unbelievable numbers. And maybe it's we don't talk about him as much is because he's so consistent and he's not a guy that is going to be in the news. He's not a guy that's going to hold out necessarily. He's not a guy that is going to make waves. He's just such, you know, and I've met him. He's such just a good person, you know, apart from the football field. And you just, you know, it's not like a guy that like an Antonio Brown that is an unbelievable talent, but, you know, sometimes we're reading about him for the wrong reasons. And Larry Fitzgerald is just, I think he'll be a Hall of Famer. I think he'll be, you know, right away when he's eligible. And I think we'll certainly celebrate his greatness, you know, going forward.
No question, no debate. And that's where I think being, like you said, like doesn't get in trouble, you don't hear about the media, that goes underappreciated because a lot of times, a lot of receivers nowadays, rather whether you think about Odell or T.O. or any of these other guys, doesn't get in trouble. I mean, this is – I know loyalty nowadays is a lot of times in the NBA or NFL folks is that, oh, let's go chase the ring. It's good to chase the ring, but a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, We're not going to see it again. I'm not saying that he's better than Jerry Rice. So, folks, calm down. All I'm saying is that at least have a conversation more of respect. A lot of Arizona players don't get the respect, especially that I've talked about for the past year in Chandler Jones. But more NFL talk here. Folks, we're very familiar with NFL or ex-NFL receiver Calvin Johnson. Did we know he retired because of injuries? There's a story that came out, though. He said that he wanted to finish his career somewhere else because it's Detroit. But the Lions blocked it. They wouldn't let him go. So what's your initial thoughts on that story and kind of what does that really show the Lions' true colors?
Yeah, and obviously we don't know all the details. Calvin Johnson is another, right? He's an unbelievable receiver, one of the greatest of all time, and retired at a relatively young age. And it feels like the Lions, you know, that's you think about Barry Sanders, now Calvin Johnson, is it, you know, the Lions haven't won, right? And you know, I know most players, like, that's your motivation. You know, do you have a chance to win a championship? And obviously Calvin, you know, from reading that story, he wanted to go somewhere else to chase that Super Bowl ring. You know, if the Lions flat out said they weren't going to trade him, you know, who knows what happened. It's a tough spot because for the Lions, that's the face of your organization. You drafted that player. You need to get, you know, if you're going to trade him, you need to get a return for that type of player. And maybe there just wasn't, maybe they shopped him and just didn't get anything that was, they felt was fair value. And they're like, look, you're going to play for the Lions or you're going to retire. And ultimately that's what happened.
I mean, if you're a lot of players, I mean, who would want to go to Detroit? This is saying that you had a legendary running back in Barry Sanders, and how he retired, Calvin Johnson traded Matthew Stafford, even though you never put the pieces around him. He had multiple back injuries time and time again. So it's definitely frustrating because, man, 9 years, almost 12, I believe almost 12,000 yards, folks. People don't understand how great that is. I think he was so close in 2012 and 2013 to having 2,000 receiving yards. That is something.
Which is incredible. It's insane.
Something remarkable and something awesome. But again, folks, here we're that would do 2022 your career special. I apologize, folks, for it's not on Facebook, my personal Facebook page, and or the network Facebook page. So that is on me. But folks, here we have the NFL top players. But Dean, if you had to pick some of your top players for 2021, top five, regardless of position, who would you have to put in that category?
Well, I think, you know, the people that jump out at me, it's hard. I'm going to put Tom Brady in a separate category. We're going to take Tom and we're going to put him in a little glass case. And we're just going to, because the guy is unbelievable. And I think let's just leave him out for now. You know, I think you talk about Patrick Mahomes, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Rodgers. You know, and if I'm going to pick a receiver, if I'm going to throw a receiver in there, or you know what, forget a receiver. I'm going to go with Aaron Donald on the defensive side, a guy that's just, you know, dominates and is, could win defensive player of the year every year. So those would be my five. I'm sure I'm leaving people out, but those are the five that come to mind.
Definitely, because Mahomes puts a lot of trauma on my Denver Broncos, because apparently John Elway and others are having a hard time understanding what is a talented quarterback. It's not 6'5", 260 here, and or Paxton Lynch. But top five, though, man, that's Aaron Donald, though, man. I've never – it may be because I didn't watch football back in the day. For me, he's the closest thing to DeLawrence Taylor or someone else, because he's so dominant. We don't see a guy consistently, like, even before the year, to get considered for MVP. I mean, to get not just single, double or triple team. And I said this, team, like, regardless of numbers, if you have to plan around one guy just for a game, regardless of Aaron Donald's numbers or not numbers, you know, they're phenomenal. That just shows you how great a player is. If mentally he's already in your head before the game even starts and you have the game plan against him, he's something phenomenal.
And that's the thing about Aaron Donald, is he can impact the game without even really recording a sack or really recording the statistics that are going to jump out and say he had an amazing game. Because like you said, if he's getting double and triple teamed, somebody else is on a single, you know, one-on-one block. Somebody else is getting a free run. So, and I look, I grew up in New York. Lawrence Taylor is my favorite player of all time. I remember when the Giants drafted him. There's no player, at least, you know, in my mind, that he changed the game. And that's what Aaron Donald is doing. You know, offenses had to change because they had never seen a player like Lawrence Taylor. They didn't know what to do with him. This guy that had the combination of size, speed, athleticism, the aggressiveness, everything. And, you know, what Washington created, you know, Joe Gibbs had to figure out, we're not going to, you know, we're going to double and triple team him. We're going to keep it back in the backfield. That's going to help out. And he was just such a dominant player that we hadn't seen that from that outside linebacker position at that point.
Man, I wish I grew up back in the day with football. Lawrence Taylor, all these guys, the Steel Curtain, the Giants team, man, and all these teams, man, it's definitely, but top. I may have to throw an offensive lineman in there. I know that's unpopular. Maybe he isn't top five, but Quentin Nelson, though, I think doesn't get the respect to a certain extent because he's been on the Colts. Sure. The Colts necessarily haven't been a team that goes to the AFC Championship game. They had Phillip Rivers, and of course, unfortunately, Andrew Luck retired early in 2019, but that offensive line is important, folks. It doesn't matter if you have a Derrick Henry or AP or Fitzgerald. That offensive line is so important. But one last one, though. I know we already talked about receiver, but I'm going to have to pick D-Hop, though. Like, I know that receivers, oh, there's so many of them, and they're so popular. They get talked about a lot. But, I mean, just alone, that catch last year, some people could say, oh, that was Kyler Murray or that was D-Hop. This guy's done it his whole career. We saw him practice a highlight reel back in 2013, 2014. I mean, D, you talk about quarterbacks. Like, was it Brock Osweiler?
He is, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, for me, and I've said this going back to 2013, 2014, I can't remember him ever dropping a pass. Like there's been some passes that he hasn't caught because, you know, it was just, you know, too high or just out of his reach. Maybe he got a hand on it. But just a straight-up drop, it just doesn't happen, you know, and it just feels like he, you know, there are games you're watching where – you know, every other pass is to DeAndre. He's open. He's making great catches at the sideline. He's not the guy that has the 4.3 speed that is going to go over the top and hit you for the 80-yard touchdown every time. The guy's just so good. And he reminds me of like a Chris Carter, you know, who had such great hands and would just catch everything. If it was in his catch radius, he was going to catch it. And, you know, that's what I see with DeAndre. And he's such a, you know, with that Arizona team, you know, that's another, you know, between him, you don't know what's happening with Fitzgerald. Is AJ Green going to kind of return to form? You've got to, you know, they drafted Rondale Moore from Purdue. They've got a lot of weapons with Kyler Murray. You know, can they put it together? I know they're in a tough division, but, you know, I think they've got to make the playoffs this year and kind of take that next step.
They definitely have to. I mean, they're disappointed. I feel like last season, you can say it's 100% disappointment. I mean, you started off 6-2, I believe the number one scoring offense. But, man, like, D-Hop, this is where I know we talk about receivers all the time. We talk about other guys. Like, talk about Chris Carter, Bass, and so many others. But DeAndre, though, is a guy that, like, you were never going to see. Like, let's appreciate the folks. Brock Osweiler. So many other guys. Again, Brock Osweiler came on the Broncos twice. He has the hair. He's a guy I would give maybe a first-round pick, another first-round pick. You're never going to see a guy like that again. I can maybe see being top five, top three receiver in the league, but people don't – I know people talk about all these other guys, but I definitely think Dean, others, folks that are – hopefully we can get some more people in here because the stream's not being a little weird – is – to have that respect for DeAndre Hopkins. But this somehow, Dean, I don't know what took so long for me to find this out. Charlie Strong, who spent some time with my Texas Longhorns, that was definitely some traumatizing times, is now with the Jacksonville Jaguars as a assistant head coach and inside linebacker coach. I don't know what to think about that, Dean, because Charlie Strong is a guy that I don't know if it's the wrong system, but this guy can't coach. He's caused me so much emotional pain, but I don't know what.
Well, I think you're, you know, that's obviously UT, that there's a long tradition there and you've got to win. Right. And, you know, it didn't work out for him, you know, but Charlie Strong has been successful at other places, and you know, obviously, you know, coached at Louisville. He coached at South Florida. I think he was a defensive analyst for Alabama in 2020. So we'll see. You know, I know Urban Meyer's put together that staff. There's a lot of college coaches on there, and you know, let's see what happens this year.
I don't know what type of assistant Alabama think he could be. He can't even coach in Madden and 2K. It's one of those things where it's guys like, I'll give you a chance, but just even seeing a video of him like throwing the football. I mean, this guy had maybe he could coach on SNL. I don't know what took me, Dean, so long to find this out. I don't remember there being a story. I guess it's one of those like Tom Herman, where it wasn't like a big story that's being covered, but Charlie Strong being with the Jaguars, congrats Jaguars, y'all can sign him for the next 10 to 15 years. We don't want him in Denver. We don't want him at Texas, but that's definitely some traumatizing scene. I take college football and football very seriously here. When my teams don't win, yeah, it's frustrating, but nobody is more loud. Nobody is more expressive. Had some noise complaints here, but Charlie Strong, folks, with the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't know what took me so long here, but more NFL talking on our one of our last topics here, Dan. Of course, thank you. Much appreciated for coming on. And folks, I apologize because it's supposed to be on the Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, the network Facebook page, but unfortunately did not come into fruition. But it's always good to have Dean on here. The NFL approved alternative uniforms. Yeah, I know you were an intern in the NFL back in the late 90s or 2000s. You saw a lot of these, but what are your more sort of initial thoughts on some of these alternative uniforms? And which ones do you think, like, man, I really wish the NFL would have maybe not allowed some of these?
I'm not one of those, like, oh, such a purist where you can't have an alternative uniform. I think if it's a cool concept, I never was a fan of like Oregon and they would, you know, basically a new uniform every week. I was like, I can't keep up. Like I like, you know, if it's a cool uniform and, you know, if the Chargers want to bring back the powder blues and that's cool. Right. And you can do as long as it's, you know, in conjunction with some, if they're celebrating something, if they're honoring someone, a team, a championship team, I think it's pretty cool. You know, I see, again, maybe my taste is a little bit different. I see some of these uniforms. I'm like, man, how did that get, who approved that? But yeah, it is what it is. You know, I think if it looks cool, that's fine. Uniforms are not really a big deal for me.
Some of them I think are great, but man, the Denver Broncos I think have the most ugliest alternative uniforms. It, like, it's a big bowl of baby diarrhea. It's so ugly. It shouldn't be allowed by the National Guard or the NFL. But some of them here, but this one, I don't know. Like, what do you think about the Eagles alternative one? Is that one you're kind of like, it's nice, but it's kind of, I don't know.
Well, that goes back to like the 80s when I first started watching football, and I remember Randall Cunningham and that uniform. So that's cool. I think, you know, whenever you can, as long as you're not be like creating something out of just thin air and has real no tie to the history of the team or throwbacks are cool. I remember my first year at the NFL was 1994. That was the 75th anniversary year, and it was all throwbacks, and the officials even wore like the uniform from the 1920s. So it was just kind of cool. And, you know, to kind of revisit and celebrate that history.
Definitely a lot of great history, but look at some of these like this. That should be outlawed. That one right there is really,
a lot of people really like that. A lot of people like the old school Tampa with the winking pirate. And that's again, that goes back to, you know, 70s and 80s and,
I totally understand, like, some people, like, some alternative uniforms are great, like who you both saying, but, man, that Bucks one, I can't get it out of my head. It's one of those more traumatizing things. But, again, Dean Bodino from Fox Sports does his the college football show every single year. Sorry, his company, Under the Hood. Dean, much appreciated. Sorry, the show's a little bit off here with the internet, but much appreciated for coming on and definitely, hopefully college game day will see me. So I'll be at UT week one, and I will be yelling, "Hey, Steve." So hopefully to get his attention. But Dean, thank you so much for coming on, and I'll definitely have to do it again.
Thanks for having me, John.
Yeah, folks, Dean Medina from Fox Sports for a company Under the Hood, and they are working on a project. But thank you so much for coming on, folks, as we enter this last part of the program here. Folks, we talk about our top head coaches. I don't understand this list. when you really look at it here, Bill Belichick, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll, John Harbaugh, Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan, all this sound great. Let's kind of break it down. But we will, folks, here again in just a moment. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Okay, folks, we apologize here for the internet tonight is being weird. It's not streaming to my personal Facebook page. It's not streaming to the God Over Mighty Sports Network Facebook page. So again, folks, I do apologize for that. But this head coach top 10 list, believe, should be a warrant for an arrest. I mean, I get it. Let's kind of recategorize, talk about some of these. The ones I really want to talk about here on the fringe is Kevin Stefanski, Brian Flores, Mike Vrabel, Sean McVay, and Bruce Arians. I get, folks, we can disagree on certain lists. That is okay. But this one, you're on the fringe about Bruce Arians being a top 10 head coach. The Bucs just won a Super Bowl. What are you on the fringe about? I understand you say, oh, he had Tom Brady. He had that stacked roster. He had all these different things. Yada, yada, yada. I totally understand. But top 10? He should be top 5. Because here is the, excuse me, ridiculous notion of head coaches having these rosters with these great receivers or quarterbacks. If this was the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, when this list came out, Andy Reid would be the top head coach on the list. Tom Brady's been in the league. No, but it's the same logic, though, in terms of criticism or anything else, where you had all the top players. You had such a depth roster on offense. You should not be on the fringe at all. Bruce Arians is not a top 10 head coach. He's a top 5, top 3 head coach. Yes, he won the Super Bowl. More importantly, than that, or to a certain extent, folks, what is really hard for an organization, especially after winning a Super Bowl, a lot of guys want to go into free agency. A lot of guys want to be traded because, oh, we won a Super Bowl. Some guys may think that they're better than they actually are. But being able to retain all of your players of that same team that won a Super Bowl, that alone should put them a top 3 head coach. Right now in the NFL, won a Super Bowl, retaining all your players from that Super Bowl winning roster. That's really hard to do. Going back to the 2015 Denver Broncos, that defense was stacked. That team was stacked. We know why they won the Super Bowl. You had Von Miller. You had all of these different, I believe, DeMarcus Ware, all of these dogs, Malik Jackson, so many, I believe, Akeem Hicks. That team was stacked. What happened that offseason? A lot of guys got traded and free agency. A lot of the things happen because a lot of times when you win a Super Bowl, a lot of times it's teams not or winning the Super Bowl, maybe at not always at the best time in terms of reoccurring and bringing back those players because you have the cap situation. A lot of times, this is the biggest thing. This is why Bruce Arians should be a top 3 head coach on this list. And I think a lot of people could say that Bruce Arians is a top 3 head coach in the league. So the cap situation at the wrong time, the cap situation is usually pretty low after a team wins a Super Bowl. And a lot of times, also the team to get to a Super Bowl, they spend a ton of money. Look at the Los Angeles Rams, folks. In the 2018
18 offseason. They got Dominican Sue. You already had Aaron Donald, Aqib Talib, Michael Brocker, all of these dogs. You got Chris Anderson. You have Cooper Kupp. You traded for Brandon Cooks. His team was stacked. But at the end of the year, they couldn't win this. They didn't win the Super Bowl. And of course, that cap situation was less than $1 million going to the 2019 offseason. Unfortunately, losing against the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 53. The team is kind of disbarred a little bit. The cap situation is in cap deprivation for the next couple of years. So this is all really just my point to prove that this list really is absolutely insane. You're on the fringe of Bruce Arians being your top 10 or top 3 head coach. This is absolutely insane. Put more respect, more love. If you look at Mike Zimmer, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, a lot of great head coaches here, but let's kind of talk about one more on this list here, folks. But again, folks, that would do 2020. Sion, founder of the God Over Money Sports Network. The two-year career show is tonight, and it is live. Folks, again, thank you so much for the support. But looking back at this top head coach list, Mike Zimmer. And I know this, folks, may cause some rise. Mike Zimmer is not top 10. Let's calm down. Let's let our emotions get out of the way. Here's why I say that he is not top 10. But in terms of this list also, if you're on the fringe of Kevin Stefanski, the Browns won the playoff game. If you're on the fringe of our Brian Flores, they nearly made the playoffs last year with a quarterback carousel drama. Mike Vrabel. The Tennessee Titans have been to the playoffs multiple times, have won playoff games, have been in the playoffs. So if you're on the fringe about Stefanski, who won a playoff game, you're on the fringe about Brian Flores, you're on the fringe about Sean McVay, who 2 years ago in 2019 was in a Super Bowl. How are you on the fringe? But I know people say, oh, I've criticized guys in the past. Oh, they've been a byproduct of their weapons. But so Sean McVay is a great head coach. I'm not saying he's the best in the league, but he should be in the top 10. The reason why I'm so frustrated with this list, it just doesn't make any sense. Kevin Stefanski, Brian Flores, Mike Vrabel, Sean McVay. All these guys should be on this list, top 10, shouldn't be on the fringe. Pro Football Talk does great work, but man, I disagree with this list. If you're on the fence about Sean McVay, who 2 years ago went to the Super Bowl, but on the same list you have Ron Rivera being a top 8 head coach. A great Washington had a great year last year in terms of record. They won a division, the NFC least. You had a great year. I get that Chase Young's rookie year in the NFL, drafted, I believe, second overall in the 2020 NFL draft for the Washington football team. Who Ron Rivera? You could say, oh, because Kevin, injuries, quarterback injuries, you can make a conversation. You can make a point. Ron Rivera being a top 8 head coach on this list. That just not just boils my blood, boils my mind. It doesn't make any sense at all. What has Ron Rivera done in the past 3 to 4+ years to show right now in the 2021 offseason that he is a top 8 head coach? I'll wait. Well, I'll just relax. I'll just sit here. Enjoy the last part of my monster. Exactly. He is not a top 8 head coach. He's not a top 10. He has the potential to do that. The way Washington is going as a franchise, they are a team for the future that will contend. But right now, Ron Rivera should not be on this top 8, top 10. If you want to be on the fringe about head coaches, at least be on the fringe about a head coach who necessarily hasn't done any winning in the past 4 to 5 years. Or at least the past 2 to 3 years. I'll give you more credit with that.
But if you're going to be on the fringe about all these quarterbacks who have been our premier playoff teams, I don't understand. What are you on the fringe about with Brian Flores? Look what that defense did last year. Do we expect them to have a winning record? Would he expect them to maybe have beat 10-6? Would he have a carousel of Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua Tagovailoa, who in my lot of opinion, like some others, like he's not a great quarterback, but with him, you made it work. With Ryan Fitzpatrick, you made it work. When you have that quarterback carousel, a quarterback's rookie year, or a head coach's second year with a franchise, that's usually a recipe for a team to not do very good. Like a 4-12, 5-11. But no, the Miami Dolphins went 10-6. So if you're on the fringe about playoff winning, Super Bowl appearing head coaches, but yet you're not on the fringe about Mike Zimmer, who has constantly in the playoffs not gotten it done. You can say, oh, I'm being too harsh. Well, you also agreed to, with the organization to pay Kirk Cousins in the 2018 offseason fully guaranteed money. Fully guaranteed contract. Even though that a couple months before nearly went to a Super Bowl with Case Keenum. I'm not saying Case Keenum was the reason, but the point is if you had Case Keenum, you could at least, even if it didn't work out financially, it would have been okay. You could move on. You could retain your players from that team when you went to the NFC Championship game, something we just talked about just a little bit ago. Something that is very hard to do. To keep your players. It is super hard. But you're going to tell me that you're on the fringe about Sean McVay, who went to a Super Bowl. Mike Vrabel, who's been to the playoffs. Also beat Bill Belichick in the playoffs. Kevin Stefanski got this Browns team to be a team. Won a playoff game. You're on the fringe about them. But yeah, you put on this top 10 list Ron Rivera. I don't understand this list from Pro Football Talk. What has Ron Rivera done? Kyle Shanahan, I could understand maybe in terms of like how his offense is run is definitely very exciting. He appeared in the Super Bowl just a couple of seasons ago. Andy Reid, yes, appeared in two straight Super Bowls, won a Super Bowl, man, that phenomenal head coach. Pete Carroll, though. That's another thing, folks. You could say that really gripes this list. On this list from Pro Football Talk, you have Pete Carroll top four. I'm not here to play the blame game. I'm not here to be, oh my gosh, or I'm being too critical or anything else. But Pete Carroll being a top four head coach, according to this list, Pro Football Talk, what type of research, what type of analytics are you doing? For Pete Carroll to be a top four head coach on this list, your football card needs to be revoked. We can disagree or agree on any football, basketball, or sports topic, but Seattle, time and time again, the past couple of years has not got it done in the playoffs. You can say it's either Bob Stein, the GM, Pete Carroll, or the organization. We can play the blame game, but we're not here to do that. The only issue I really have, like that really should be looked at, is Pete Carroll being a top four head coach. I love Russell Wilson. I even know Pete Carroll in college, I wasn't the biggest fan because, of course, UT, USC, there was a huge rival back in the day. What I don't understand is what is Pete Carroll qualified for? Pro Football Talk on this list, look at it here, being a top four head coach. Seattle, the way their offense is run is not meant to be a team to win multiple playoff games. There's the reason why they won that Super Bowl. Yes, Russell Wilson didn't turn the ball over. That defense, Legion of Boom, they destroyed my Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. I'm still traumatized to this day. But look at it right now. In 2021, out of all the head coaches on this list, but Belichick, Sean Payton, this is Mike Tomlin. You're going to tell me, on this list, Pro Football Talk, you have Mike Tomlin, number three, which we could, I disagree, but it's not a bad, that's not a bad one. And then you have Pete Carroll. So you're telling me Pete Carroll is in the same conversation as Mike Tomlin. And I know Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl more recently, even though that was really years and years ago. They appeared in two back-to-back Super Bowls, Legion of Boom. Okay, that was great. But we're talking about right now, 2021. Pro Football Talk. Give me one definition, one example, or folks that are they're watching. Again, folks, I apologize. The stream has been very odd tonight. It's not streaming to my personal Facebook page, and it's not streaming to the network page, so I apologize if people aren't able to view it, but the link for the YouTube show will be shown on there or shared out there so people can view this content. Things don't always go your way, but keep going, and don't let it get you down here. But back to this list, though, Pete Carroll, though. I'm not saying he's overrated, or I'm not saying he's underrated. Just in terms of this list, if this list didn't exist, we wouldn't have to talk about this. All I have to say before it moved forward, if you really want to be on the fringe by any of these guys that are on the top 10 list, I could say Ron Rivera and Mike Zimmer and Pete Carroll. We go to rants all day. I'm not here to do a 30, 40-minute rant like maybe somebody from a sports network, Isaiah Leong from the MSX Sports Network. Pete Carroll should not be top four. You could say maybe top 10 and maybe on the fringe, and a bit, okay, I 100% agree with that. We can have different opinions on football. Like some people disagree with the Jerry Rice take or anything else. I totally understand. But this list is absolutely insane. It's delusional. It's crazy. It's frustrating. Pete Carroll being a top four head coach has to be insane. Now, if you want to put Pete Carroll on top four, by that logic, in my opinion, let's just put Mike Zimmer top five. Let's just destroy this whole list. Let's put Mike Zimmer top five. Again, folks, this is a 2-year career, especially here on the God Over Buddy Sports Network. I apologize. It's been a while since I've done the show here, but it feels so good to be back and getting back in the rhythm. We do have a big special announcement coming in the next couple of weeks, in the next month, and people that know the announcement do know the announcement, but it's going to be big. I promise you, this fall on the network is going to be great. It has been crazy. It has been difficult running a network, and I'll be brutally honest before we continue on. I want to be transparent with y'all or anybody that's somehow going to join the network in the future. I want to be transparent and I want to be honest. It has not been easy running a network by myself. So I'm not looking at, oh, look at me. What I tell this folks is that for anybody that wants to be in this industry, we talk about hard work, really hard work. Hundreds and hundreds of late nights. But I want to thank y'all so much for the first month of the support of the God Over Money Sports Network that would do 2020. We do have a lot of good news coming out very soon, but fall 2021 on the network is going to be great. But again, Pro Football Talk had their top 10 head coach list, guys that are on the fringe about, and ones that y'all know I completely disagree with. I understand what maybe some of these guys on this list. Matt LaFleur, I understand that. Two straight NFC championship games. Kevin Stefanski on the fringe. Definitely a one I'm like, okay, let's have a conversation. Let's write an essay or give me a true reason. We can agree or disagree, but that is okay. That's the beauty part about sports here.
bugs coming out of the NFL. This happened about a week or two ago, but I wasn't feeling good. So some of these topics that we're talking about tonight, they were already talked about in the sports media, but I wanted to talk about them. Each individual topic that is put on the show, that is talked about on the show, is a topic that I am passionate about, that I'm excited about, that I want to talk about. Some of these were talked about a couple weeks ago. I apologize, but again, I was not feeling very well at all. I was laying on the couch, wasn't feeling good, feel like I was going to throw up. So that's why we didn't necessarily have the content, and the show was delayed a week. But I apologize, folks, but thank you all so much for your patience. But coming out of the NFL, Demaryius Thomas, man, what a career. Now, I understand when I say, oh, we had Peyton Manning, they had that great roster, but regardless of numbers, even though the numbers were there, even though we go back to 2014 with Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant were the top receivers in the NFL, wow, the NFL has changed. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a Denver Broncos Ring of Honor, maybe a Denver Broncos Hall of Famer, two things which are great. Because when the pro football happens every year to induct guys in, guys that you want to have be Hall of Fame worthy, whether it's first ballot, whether it's second ballot or third ballot, we don't want to just throw that around. Especially, oh, here's a Hall of Fame ticket. Here's a Hall of Fame ticket. He is a Hall of Famer. This guy's a Hall of Famer. That is, for me, that's not to disrespect the career of Demaryius Thomas, which has been phenomenal, which has been great. I think he's a Denver Broncos Hall of Famer, Denver Broncos Ring Hall of Famer, Ring of Honor. I believe that's what it's called. 9,763 yards, 63 touchdowns, Super Bowl 50 champ, two-time second team All-Pro, 22nd overall pick in the 2010 NFL draft, high pick by the Denver Broncos, won a playoff game against the Steelers with quarterback Tim Tebow, who is now a tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars, despite some years for Demaryius Thomas, not starting a lot, had some time with the Patriots, had some time with the Jets, still averaged 976 receiving yards per season. More so, thoughts of the retirement, man, is, man, what a great career. You on and off the field, when we talk about receivers nowadays, a lot of them that are star, they're great, they're elite, they have trouble on or off the field. But Demaryius Thomas was one of those guys you don't have any trouble with, at least that got to the media. You had seen him getting in trouble. No, not a PR nightmare, a PR joy. Obviously, I'm a little bit biased on Demaryius Thomas and his career, being a Broncos fan. I will be a Broncos fan for life. I don't give up on my teams, unlike somebody from a certain sports story, just because the going gets tough. But Demaryius Thomas has had a phenomenal career, Super Bowl 50 champ. Man, I wish him the best. I think he's had a phenomenal career. He is not a Hall of Famer, though. And that's, I don't know how certain people would disagree with that notion. But again, folks, Demaryius Thomas retires from the NFL nearly after 10 seasons, 9,763 yards, 63 touchdowns, Super Bowl 50 champ, five-time Pro Bowl, two-time second team All-Pro in 2013-2014, average 976 yards receiving per year, multiple touchdowns per season. Such a phenomenal career. But man, Demaryius Thomas, I wish y'all the best in every way, shape, or form here. But again, folks, it's a 2 year, that one dude, 2022-year career special. Man, oh man, it has been, let's just say it's been a journey. But the founder, CEO of the God Over Money Sports Network, man, it has been a journey. But more NFL talk coming up here in just a moment. We'll take a real quick commercial break.
He knows his stuff. He's not afraid to go at people.
And no player should have that much control over an organization. Well, last time I checked, this is not the Los Angeles LeBron.
How did you get blocked by LeBron James on Twitter?
Talking about, you know, wanting to inspire, and like, I'm inspired right now. I want to run through a brick wall for you right now.
Cutthroat. It's very, you know, up and down roller coaster of emotion.
God, put me in a position.
Jakes, sideline, touchdown, unbelievable.
It's always a good time when I get to get on that dude 2020 show.
But again, folks, that would be 2020, the two-year career special, CEO and founder, God Over Money Sports Network. But, folks, this next topic, though, is really a question for AFC North fans, maybe necessarily Baltimore Raven fans. Question for you all, for anybody that's watching. What do y'all think is the biggest concern for the Ravens in 2021? Would have to say the offensive line. You saw that in the playoffs. When he decided to get traded, when their star offensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens wanted to switch positions and decided to move on from the Baltimore Ravens. Folks, I know I say this and it gets annoying, but this is so true. The offensive line is the most important thing for a team, and especially for a quarterback who, where there's been a lot of criticism of, oh, he's not a passer here. He's not a bad passer, but he really needs to improve. Well, with a passer, a guy that needs to improve as a passer, as a starting quarterback in the NFL, what does he need? An offensive line. But with the Baltimore Ravens, though, that is the biggest issue here, folks. But again, I would love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, or concerns. What is the biggest issue, or necessarily the biggest concern for the Baltimore Ravens in 2021? But again, folks, here, that would do 2020 two-year career special is on tonight. I want to thank you all so much for the support. But again, folks, let's move on to our final topic of tonight before we get into tonight's final thoughts. Folks, really, the past 2 years, we have a variant here in the chat. A Callan McClurg variant, I believe, is coming in here, folks. Okay, it's not from the TVA, so let's calm down. But what's up, my man?
Good to see you, man. How's it going?
Well, I'll be honest here, folks. The stream has not gone well because it was supposed to stream to my personal Facebook page, to the network Facebook page, and right as we went live with Dean, it decided to be a Higgins. It decided to not to want to stream. So again, folks, that's apologies for anybody that wasn't able to watch the show. The show's been planned for weeks, but it just doesn't work out that way sometimes.
Yeah, I got to roll with the punches, my man. I agree.
Totally get that, but just finishing off here, 2 years. This is like how you've said this time and time again. I know people say, oh, it sounds so corny, though, but there's a ton of late nights. This is not an industry where you can probably work once or twice a week. It may take 4 to 5+ years. Now, obviously, I haven't made it yet, but the thing is, folks, numbers don't freaking matter. And I know this sounds corny with MSX Sports Derek nearly crossing to 100,000 views across all platforms. But for me, I think the biggest thing that count the past 2 years and now into year three is that shooting your shot. And I know people look like, what the heck are you talking about? Shoot your shot. In one Facebook group, I'd say February of last year, right before, of course, the whole COVID issues happened. I shoot my shot to a Facebook group, and now I know great people at MI6 and Trevor and Cal and everybody else, you don't know. And I think at the end of it, for me at least, even if I don't make it, I don't care about like the views or the likes. I know that people say that all the time. It sounds disingenuous, but even if I don't make it, it's the same energy. It's hundreds of late nights, hundreds of episodes later. But I know you've been busy, my man. But thank you for coming on.
I'm glad to be here, man. I know it's been, you know, kind of weird, you know, having one platform to stream, my man. Believe me. So I feel your pain.
Trevor coming in the clutch like Nick Foles does in the NFL here at the last minute. But Trevor, thank you for coming on. Of course, the views tonight, the views don't matter, but it would have been great to have interaction. But of course, Facebook decides to be Facebook, and now most of the platforms I'm not able to stream on tonight. We're just streaming on the network's YouTube page.
Yeah, but it's been fantastic watching you, I guess. It's not even been like, you know, part of your journey. You know, I've only been, like 9 months part of this journey of your 2-year career. So it's been fantastic watching you grow as an individual and all your great sports takes to dealing with some of Isaiah's hotter takes in general. But hey, I'm glad that I had the chance to meet you and do different podcast shows with you, John.
No, it's been great. I've never met somebody, it's like I said, but see, even just 9 months, that's a lot though, folks. We've had a ton of post show calls. I say folks, nobody's even watching this, so we can just keep going here. But that's, man, tonight's been an interesting journey here. But I mean, 9 months though, it's I think even then that's a lot, because I remember for a while there, I didn't know anybody, not just any of y'all. I remember just a ton of late nights at 2 or 3 in the morning. I'd wake up. We got one view on our show. We got no views on the podcast, but that's really like, is what it is. And that's why I want to be transparent with it. I say it with y'all, because I can't say everybody. Nobody's watching the show. Is that running the network was a lot harder than I thought it would be. And maybe I jumped the gun, but I definitely think that it's been worth it. If again, we have a huge guest coming on in late August, early September, but I'll keep that hush hush. And oh man, let's not look at the group chat. But Callan, I know you've been in this industry for many years now. What is something that you've learned over the years while you've been in it for a while? Yeah, you probably seen some people unfortunately just not make it.
You know, I think the thing I've learned in 12 years is, and I think Isaiah has said this several times, though, is be yourself. You know, I always do my best to be myself. You know, I'm very outgoing, a very outgoing individual and things like that. And just, you know, being out there, you know, making connections and stuff like that. And I never thought I'd get back into sports podcasting, because my, you know, in a regular year, you know, my schedule is normally booked from, you know, late August into May or June. And I've been picking up some summer work. So kind of getting back into working year round, essentially, you know, in my off season and things like that. But with COVID, of course, you weren't really able to do a full season because of the restrictions in place here in California and in San Diego, especially where I live. And, you know, it was, you know, a very, you know, tough process to be a part of, though. But things I certainly tell people a lot, though, is I think nowadays more so it's about what you know and who you know when you're getting into this industry. And certainly, like John said about shooting your shot, though, I mean, that's kind of how my first opportunity to work in sports came into when I was a freshman going into my sophomore year in high school. This junior A hockey team up in northern San Diego put out a filler out there for a aspiring play-by-play announcer, and I jumped on it. You know, I've been a huge hockey fan for a majority of my life, though I played baseball, but hockey's kind of been that second sport that I played and that I watched on a consistent basis and still do, obviously. And, you know, I was like, you know, why not? You know, if they say no, they say no. So I kind of, you know, took that gamble and, you know, got a chance to do some announcing on the, like, TV and radio side for online streaming for a couple years. Didn't work out, but they're like, you know, hey, you know, we'll keep you around, though. So I end up, you know, having to somewhat pay those dues, though, of, you know, working in game operations and kind of being a part of, you know, selling merchandise and selling popcorn and soda, you know, at the concession stand, or selling, you know, merchandise, or being a, you know, like a usher, you know, kind of, you know, keeping people in check and stuff like that. Then I think the last year I was there, or last 2 years I was there, they're like, hey, we don't have a PA announcer anymore. Why don't you give that a try? So I ended up doing that. And I've, that's mainly what I've done in my time, in hockey, at least, has been public address, where I'm heard in the entire arena by all the fans, not over, you know, your TV or your radio or over your phone or your computer. And, you know, been fortunate though to be able to work with, you know, so many great organizations here locally, you know, in San Diego. I've been able to work a little bit out of San Diego. I got a chance to work in the NBA G League for a game. I've worked with USA Rugby. I've worked with, you know, with soccer teams that are somewhat on the soccer pyramid, going towards Major League Soccer. I've worked in pro lacrosse as a writer, freelance style. So certainly, you know, things I always say a lot, though, that John and Trevor know about, though, is, you know, don't limit yourself to one thing and try to be a jack of all trades, especially, I think, nowadays with how, you know, we can broadcast, you know, a podcast live on YouTube or on Facebook, or you can go live on Twitch and stuff like that, with there being so many avenues now that you can, you know, literally, you know, go live, you know, from a bar somewhere and recap a game, or, you know, have some playful banter maybe with some guys at the bar and go live on the web and do it, you know, and things like that. But certainly that there's avenues, there's things to do. And the beauty of sports, though, and that's the thing we talk about, though, as well, though, guys, that it brings people together, you know, strangers, it brings neighborhoods together, it brings families closer together, it brings, you know, total strangers together. And that's certainly, you know, what we've built on on the MI Stick Sports Network, is, you know, random people. Like, I didn't know Trevor, you know, before March of 2020. And obviously, John, you know, you and I, of course, have grown very close again, because I know that you always are, you know, you're always asking questions. You're always, you know, saying, you know, hey, this person said yes, this person said no. And you're always, you know, and that's the thing I love about it, about you so much, though. And that's what I have said this several times on MI6 programming, though, John, and I see a lot of me in you, because of the reason I say that, though, is because, like, I never changed my mind, you know, for one thing. I've always wanted to be in sports media, but, and I know that you were obviously doing something else and you went into the field, but that, you know, that there is passion for the industry, there's passion for sports, and at least for, you know, for one particularly, but there's still a passion for it. There is the willingness to get better every day. There is the willingness to, you know, say yes, say no. And there's a willingness to be out there and get your name out there. And much like when I started doing a podcast for women's basketball, John, no one's going to watch. Why am I doing this? You start, you know, self-doubting. And I did that for 5 years. It was the greatest thing I ever did in my entire career in podcasting. I got to interview two players that play or play in the league. I got to go to an all-star game and hang out with a bunch of people that I met via Twitter that are big women's basketball fans. And I've met countless players and countless media members who cover the game, and I still work in the game at the D1 and D2 level. So, I mean, you know, comparing and contrasting there. But certainly, you know, 12 years for me, and, you know, the thing that I always tell people, this was a conversation, as a matter of fact, as we're at the baseball all-star break right now, when we had the game here in San Diego, Dick Enberg, who you guys probably know very well, was, you know, basically a jack of all trades, calling baseball, he called basketball, he called football, you know, he called, you know, some Olympic games and stuff like that. And I asked him when I met him in 2016, you know, what's the one piece of advice you give to anyone who's aspiring to be in the sports media industry or as a broadcaster? And I have a ball signed by him. And after he signed it, he looked me dead in the eye and basically, like, you know, like that father figure kind of pointed, like, said, son, the word no should never be in your vocabulary if you want to make it in this industry. If you want to make it in this industry, you say yes to every single chance you're given. Big city, small city, big pay, little pay, no pay. Whatever assignment you're given, you say yes and you go and you do it. And I have kind of, in a way, lived by that mantra for the past 5 years. And certainly I hope to do that for the next 5, next 10, 15, 20 years, hopefully, of, you know, not saying no and taking whatever is sent my way. And that's kind of been what it's been for me, just personally. You know, I did two days of a high school baseball showcase, and I did three Little League championship games here in San Diego. So it's about what you know, who you know, and never saying no to whatever you're given. And that's what I'll leave it at.
Well, Trevor, we'll let you go in a mix. I know you got work, but I understand, like, you're in a different field, but you've been with MI6 really since the beginning, literally. I mean, after all the post show calls and everything, like, kind of, what is, it sounds funny, but what is, I guess, this group and the podcast stuff really kind of shown how it can bring people together?
So for the group, I think you all know where I'm going to go with this. It's like the Avengers. It's like a group of people got together, and that's how we basically ended up forming it. It's like, you know, Steven, great guy, fantastic for all the stuff that he's doing right now for MI6, and, you know, wish him the best for grad school because he's, you know, going towards that. But it's just like for him, it's like the people that he met, he randomly basically networked with them. He got it out of Ohio State. Was like one of the last people he met before he ended up, you know, quote unquote graduating. And then, you know, quarantine hit us all, and so we were all stuck. So it was like saying, hey, let's make a podcast and just talk about sports, because that's what we did. And then just started snowballing to other things. Then we, like, you know, talked to, like, Cal, and then we got him on to, like, No BS, had him moderate a couple shows and start building that family bond. Then we brought you on board, and it was just like we just kept growing and just had banter, laughter, to, you know, weird extravaganzas like on New Year's where we did 6 hours of programming. Like, think about it. Even in your first year joining random people you never met, do a 6 hour stream with them and you only met them, what, like 4 months ago? That's really unheard of, to be honest. You would see something like that maybe at, like, you know, the 1 year mark or something like that. But no, you did this at the 4 month mark and you don't look back since, and you just kept growing as an individual. And it was just fantastic to watch, you know, grow, change, have new takes that I never even thought of. And you put it out there. I'm like saying, yeah, you got a valid point. Like your Jerry Rice take, you know, it was far out there. When I first heard it, I was like, yo, you can't do that. But then you put like a valid explanation out there on why, you know, you think he was overrated. And I'm like, I respect that opinion. Because you backed it up, because you had Hall of Famer quarterbacks and all that stuff. If you moved him to a different system, you know, would he still get those same numbers? And you know, clearly put a good if statement out there. And we even had talks in the past, like, what if the Cleveland Browns got all those draft picks and didn't go to Baltimore? Like, how many Super Bowls could the Cleveland Browns actually could have won? You know, the ideas and the passion that you have for this, love, even for podcasting in general, like, don't stop. Just keep going. I understand, you know, it can be tough at times and you don't get the likes or you don't get the viewers. I understand it's not all about that, but I know you have like goals and milestones. It's like, oh, let me get this post out today so my fans have some good quality content. Maybe if it's just a handful of people that you can count tuning in every week, that is a start, because they will start sharing. Then their friends will start sharing and it will eventually start to build up upon itself. Yes, it takes time and all that stuff. But look at some of your favorite YouTubers that you see. They have been doing it for 10 plus years, and then some of them have finally start reaching the 1 million subscriber mark. It takes time in this industry and any type of media platform, but it's just like you got to work with people. You get, like Callan said, who knows you and the opportunities that you can get, like even partnering with people who are on the smaller scale of like the podcasting world. Like as soon as you're on a show, your name's being talked about. Now it's like going to be on other words of mouth and just keeps going. It's like the weirdest cycle that you can ever do, but it's like you got to keep putting your best foot forward and like always giving yourself 110%. I know there's days that you probably don't want to get out of bed saying this is just hard and I'm just going to pack it in. I guarantee you there are probably, I would say like 9 times out of 10, there are those 9% of people. No, I should say 90% of people just close up shop. They just close their laptop, forget about podcasting, and move on. But you're probably that, like that 10% who would just keep going, pressing that extra mile, you know, using your resources, using your friends to say, hey, can you share this post? Can you like this? Can you tune in? Can you comment? You already understand the algorithm, how it works, and you've just been running it from it since. And I'm glad I'm able to help you through this journey. I know no matter what you do, I'm going to try to support you the best I possibly can. No, that's all I really got to say, man. You know, congrats on year two, and I wish, you know, many more to come with it. You know, maybe we'll get to a 10-year milestone and we party in Vegas somehow.
Yes, I approve.
Oh my god, an MI6, an MI6 sports party. Oh man, that would be a journey. But man, going on somebody's show, oh boy, that would be a journey. But yeah, Trevor, we talked college football for one hour straight, no problem. And that was just the one topic. I don't know how, like, I talk college football, maybe not as much as other people, but for us to talk college football for an hour straight, literally, we got bare bone to talking about, oh, what about these teams that don't get televised? Maybe give these other people an opportunity for an internship. Nobody's going to know that they're doing it. And then we had the 20-minute mark before the 3 hours were done. We started talking cartoons because, man, we ran out of topics. I don't know how you
– We died. We ran out of
– We compared MI6 people to, like, SpongeBob characters.
Yes, Callan, you're still Larry in my eyes.
That was amazing. That was the best moment of that entire show was like, okay, because I'm sitting backstage producing that program before me, Isaiah and Steven came on to do the last 3 hours of that New Year's Eve extravaganza. I'm sitting backstage like laughing, thinking, okay, who's going to be who, you know, because, you know, like, I think someone compared me to Larry the Lobster, I think. I mean, that Trevor, I mean, you know, we had that. I mean, it was absolutely great. Like, if there was a way to fill that remaining time, I'm glad it was with that because, I mean, it could have been, you know, a roast sesh about Isaiah for 20 minutes, but we chose to talk about Marvel characters and SpongeBob characters. It was amazing.
Yes.
There is no better way to do that, but of course, Trevor's much appreciated. I know you have work in the morning, but like I said, like, look stupid. Like, I know that, like, we always have, oh, look stupid when you ask that one girl, but look stupid. Shoot your shot. Like, even if, and I did the math here, like, it's 560 total. Probably less than 12-13%, like, count, y'all know, people have said no. Like, taking that much time to do that. And I think I've had a few, and y'all, or Cal knows this, is that when someone agreed to come on, set a date and time. But, like I say, how you handle the rejection, like I say, don't say no. Like, when you say don't say no, that's exactly that, because it's more necessarily going back to humble yourself. You can't have an attitude of, oh, I'm too good for this. Who cares if that is a team that is not as popular or in a small market, cough, to a certain network there? Like, it doesn't matter. You're not too good. Because let's say a tiny opportunity could lead, even if, let's say, oh, the opportunity led to Fox Sports. Well, what if it doesn't? Are you still going to do it? I think that's where a lot of times, like, count out, like, for me in the program, because, well, nobody's watching, is that, what have you noticed with certain people? Like, you've been in this industry for a while, that some of them either they leave or it doesn't work out. Was there any, like, particular reason? Or I'm kind of interested to know from, like, maybe a insider's perspective.
You know, I mean, it's very weird sometimes to, like, read, like, when someone, like, announces they're moving on or they're retiring or resigning, because, you know, it could be, you know, health, it could be this or be that, though. But certainly, you know, I say a lot that this industry is certainly demanding. You know, it demands your 100% effort each and every day that you wake up and you're going to be on a program or you're hosting a program and things like that. And certainly that's all I really can say about it, is that, you know, it's demanding. It asks for every fiber in your body, your last nerve, if you're working a game that's going into, you know, quadruple overtime, or you're, you know, working a game, it's, you know, taking forever to finish or whatnot, or it's a blowout and your team's losing, but you still have to, you know, do your job to your, you know, your full potential. And that's what I think sometimes does some people in, is that they can't keep up with the demand, you know, whether it's a, you know, the baseball schedule or a basketball schedule, you know, or any sports schedule, with how demanding it is, though, and things like that. You know, players and coaches are one thing, though, but even those who write on a daily basis, and you have deadlines where you have to get, you know, get your game story in before, you know, the paper or before the publication, you know, is sent out. You know, you have deadlines, you have, you know, interviews with radio and television, if you're, you know, writing, or if you're doing certain things like that. And, you know, there's some people that can, you know, handle it, and there's some people who sadly can't. They flame out, they get fatigued, they get tired, and they sadly don't end up making it. And it sucks to see, though, when in fact we lose a member, a member of the industry, because, you know, that they wanted to live out their dreams and it didn't pan out. But certainly all I really say, though, is, hey, you got to bring it every day. Simple as that.
Literally looking stupid. Like, I'm glad I see that for me. I say I'm like, I have made it, but I don't want it to be spoon fed to me or counter Trevor. I don't know if y'all, any Trevor in your industry or in school or maybe in Cal's industry, where like, have you met somebody where it's basically spoon fed to them? And I don't want that either in podcasting or in any job that I get. But looking stupid, hundreds and hundreds of rejections. You thought my day life was bad. Man, the rejections here for the sports show, for jobs, for internships has been insane. So, folks, we're going to end the show here because, of course, there is a total of 0 views for tonight. Facebook didn't want to stream it on my Facebook page or the network Facebook page. But, again, I really don't care. But huge thanks to Dean Medino for joining the show earlier. So we're going to end it. And, yeah, thank you for all the people that were watching.
He knows his stuff. He's not afraid to go at people.
And no player should have that much control over an organization. Well, last time I checked, this is not the Los Angeles LeBron.
Please. How did you get blocked by LeBron James on Twitter?
Talking about, you know, wanting to inspire, and like, I'm inspired right now. I want to run through a brick wall for you right now.
Cutthroat. It's very, you know, up and down roller coaster of emotion.
God put me in a position.